It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and Daniel Pryor, Sound Mind, once again, another award-winning broadcast, Daniel.
Thank you.
Hey, this week we're talking about a subject that does come up a lot, and you want to revisit it once again.
Yeah, anger. And why anger again?
Why?
As you say, it comes up an awful lot. It's a big part of my work, actually, and it's generally a factor no matter what the presenting problem when people come in. Anger is just so pervasive in our human experience and our expression, the way we live and behave, which has to do with the fact that we're mortal. We've talked a little bit about that before. So the only way that you ever really become the master of your anger, I don't like to say anger management or
anger. Yeah, that's the term we're in vogue.
Because we want to master our anger. We want to really understand it. And the Bible talks about taking every thought into captivity, and you have to have tools to do that. I think I grew up thinking, and I think a lot of Christians have this mindset that taking every thought into captivity is just saying those words. Oh, I got to take that. I take that thought into captivity. But there's a process that you have to do that by,
sure.
And so learning those processes. So we want to talk about mastering, being a master of your anger, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is to learn to recognize and deal with your anger before it even looks like anger. We've used the analogy of a stew pot before, and you're preparing stew, so you've chopped up all the vegetables and the meat. It's all there, and you put the lid on it. Now all you have to do is turn on the fire. At what point does it become stew? So if we think of anger as kind of that point where it becomes stew, at what point is anger? Well, all of the ingredients for anger can be just resonant within us. In fact, that it is. And so if we're ever, I say, going to be the master of anger, we've got to understand, each person has to, you know, understand what it is that, you know, what the buttons are and what pushes the buttons and why. And so you have to be really a student of, you know, the word, student of Christ in that example, and also a student of your own motivations. Self-analysis is a big part of it. And so some years ago, I began doing I designed a class for anger. Well, then it was anger management. It had to do with a government assistance units program. That
was it, like a domestic violence thing? Or?
Well, it was similar. I think, you know, so people would, it was kind of the revolving door where people would, if they wanted food stamps or bus passes or whatever, they have to do so many GAUs. And so one of the programs was anger management. And I think it was sort of an elective. You didn't have to have an anger problem to take this, but you could take it and get so many GAUs. And but some of these people were kind of like border on the edge of domestic violence. So that was one that maybe they were required to take. I was helping to teach that, helping another therapist to teach that. And boy, and having had for many years a severe anger problem myself, the material that they were presenting was just not doing it. And I met so many people in that program that had been through the program half a dozen times, and their behaviors had an arc to hair. There was no change whatsoever. They were just going through the motions, not really understanding it. So I put together my own program, and it developed kind of quickly, and I called it The Faces of Anger. So that makes sense with what we're talking about, because we're trying to understand anger when it doesn't look like anger, and it has different faces. We started with done the definition of anger on radio here a number of times, but just for as a refresher, the way I define anger is that anger is a fear/shame defense mechanism, or you could say a fear and shame response or behavior, but say defense mechanism associated with, and there's the important part, the gain or loss of value, control, and power. And when we say it's a defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power, and we recognize value, control, and power as very fundamental needs of any human being. Mm. If you take value, control, and power away from a person, you don't have a person anymore. So we say that my brain thrives on oxygen, my mind thrives on value, control, and power. So the definition of anger, we look at it that way, it's a response to fear and shame. And so shame is anger inward. And or let's put it this way, this is kind of a new thought. It's coming up a little
right here during recording. Yeah. The light bulb just went on.
Some of these things, after you think, do they? It's almost like common sense. So, but although shame and fear are I would say virtually always comorbid. That is, they're always together. There's an element of shame and fear. And there's an element of fear and shame. Now, by shame, I simply mean an internalized message of lack of worth. And by fear, I mean the pursuit of value, control, and power. Either fear that I don't have enough or fear that I can't get enough. So it's all about value, control, and power. And you can see that shame has to do with that again. But there's a little bit of there's a shade of difference in the way that we respond. So I would say that fear and shame can't be differentiated, but they can be distinguished. They're always together, but it's like a teeter-totter. People who have more of a internalized message of lack of worth, they're more withdrawn, they're more isolated, they're more self-effacing, and you might see self-harm behavior. The anger's turned inward, they're angry with themselves. The people who are more... a response to fear, anger is a responsibility. The anger would be outward, so that it would be attacking. There would be a need to control, behaviors to control, to belittle, to abuse others.
So this doesn't have anything to do with an extrovert, introvert. That's a whole different issue.
Yeah, that would be a different issue. Mm-hmm. It would be a different issue. Although every extrovert and introvert have fear and shame issues, so
sure.
There could be a connection there too. But that was a good question. Obviously, you caught me off guard there and off balance.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I'll do a show on
that.
Well,
I mean, because you're saying fear is an outward thing, because I always see obviously inward and outward.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are extroverts have problems with shame and fear, as do people who are introverts.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So faces of anger. Anger is, what does anger look like when it doesn't look like anger? Well, it can look like a lot of our behaviors, because anger is a potential, it's factorial probably in just about all of our behaviors. Again, because we're mortal, and anger is a response to fear and shame, and our fear and shame is linked to our mortality.
What could you please refresh us a little bit on value, control, and power? That's again a real foundational idea in a lot of your work.
Yeah. There's overlap in those, and so we don't want to look at them as discrete. The three fundamental things to just our human experience as persons is to be valued, to have control over not other people. I think initially no one is really interested in controlling other people. What we're interested in is having control over everything that's going to have an effect on me.
Correct.
And so a lot of times that means I have to control other people because they have an effect on me. So that's the second. And then power, a sense of empowerment could be resources, those kinds of things, I would think. I would probably associate power more with resources.
Hmm.
But so there's overlap, you know. I mean, the sense.
But
of,
so the shame and fear is in relation to how they feel those things are threatened.
Right. Yeah. So an internalized message of lack of worth that would bring to question my sense of value, and of course the sense of value always has something to do with my control over situations, because if I'm not of value, I'm not going to have any control over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say, I mean, you say that anger is a universal human condition, but obviously some people struggle with it a lot more than others.
Well, here's where we come to the part of recognizing anger when it doesn't look like anger, because go through a list of here, all of the things that anger can look like. Choices, just about every choice we make can potentially be motive, could be an anger behavior. Again, the key is a fear and shame based. So I can make choices that aren't fear and shame based. For example, before I came in here, I chose the apple cider over the coffee.
You already had plenty of coffee.
I had plenty of coffee. So, but so many other choices, the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the jewelry we put on, even the vocational choices can be motivated by a desire for value, control, and power. And you really can't get away with that. I think even when we come to Christ, it's in pursuit of a sense of value, control, and power. But what we learn in the family of God is that we can't achieve value, control, and power through you know, we can't build ourselves up through acquisitions and achievements or immediate gratification. What we arrive at is the conclusion that only through surrender can we actually have that value, control, and power that God intends.
Which
for
is
us.
Very counterintuitive, but
it is counterintuitive.
But that is very central to the Christian life. This idea of dying to self.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's it.
I think this is interesting. You said even vocational choices can be out of anger, and there are many in ministry, you say, who are there out of anger. Elaborate on this a little bit.
Again, it's the reach for value, control, and power. So we've had a couple of pastors, and I'm sure that there are more, we've had a couple of pastors, local pastors here, whose ministries have kind of really gone through the ringer here lately. Some months back or year back or so, it was at the Mars Hill. And then there's been the East Side Church, where in both cases, you had a pastor who got powerful when he was cautioned, when he was admonished, sometimes even rebuked by senior pastors or other pastors, rather than humble himself and reconsider his ways. He hung on tightly to his opinion, whether it be a doctrine or just power. And so what that tells me is that his entire ministry was based in, it was a grab for value, control, and power. And had another situation of a minister in another part of the country where his wife had come for counseling, and he had an addiction, which is an anger behavior. And as we were talking about that, I was talking about how the addiction was an anger behavior, and she said, "Well, that's interesting, because a lot of the people from the church have mentioned to her how angry he appears in preaching his sermons." You know, so the thing about the litmus test here is, well, is it an anger behavior? Is it not? The litmus test is, what happens when something gets between me and my goal? Because if something stands between me and my goal, if that's an anger behavior or my ministry, then you'll see the anger come out in some other way. Yeah.
Interesting. Talking about anger this week and the faces of anger, we'll continue this discussion in just a moment. Before we take our break, though, Daniel, please tell us how people can get in touch with you. Maybe they're struggling with anger. They know somebody who is. You've done a lot of work in this area. How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm sure you know somebody that is. You can call me at 425-778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And podcasts of your programs also on BibleBasedCounselor.com. So we'll take a break here. Be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, we're looking at the subject of anger, the faces of anger, and a subject that Daniel says you have a lot of experience with this. Mm-hmm. Now, you struggle with a lot of anger issues.
That's where a lot of the material comes from. Yeah, it's
but you've learned a lot about this subject. And
road-tested.
Very road-tested. We talked about some of the faces of anger before the break. You wanted to expand on this first here.
Yeah. Now, this is a pretty broad subject, and so I'm not going to exhaust it here, but this is what I do. So if people are out there and they think, well, you know, I don't know if my choices are anger choices or not, but I seem to get irritated pretty easily and blow up. Or couples might be out there saying that, you know, every time we sit down to talk, it turns into an argument, and we can't understand why. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that stew pot. The stuff is already in there, Stu, and somebody, all it takes is for somebody to, you know, light a match or turn the fire up.
Can I ask you, our age, kind of maybe you can comment on this, currently in this year, and it seems like last couple of years, and it is the world getting angrier, do you think, particularly in America and Western society, and why do you think that would be?
Because it's a response to fear, and it's a response to shame. Mm-hmm. And as we turn from God, we become more, as I said earlier, that, you know, we learn when we're walking with Christ that the only response, that the response we should have to fear and shame is surrender. And walking closer to Christ.
So in a world that's more and more secular, this is one of the fruits of it.
You respond to fear and shame with anger. Mm-hmm. We share that with animals. Mm-hmm. I don't know that animals have shame, internalized message of lack of worth.
They certainly have fear.
But they certainly have fear. Mm-hmm. And they respond to fear by striking out, trying to protect themselves. And so if we're not going to be fully human in the image of God, then our only recourse is to be live more like animals, mm-hmm. which is our lower nature. Mm. And so you see that as we turn from God, we become more animal-like. And so you see more fear and shame and anger and, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm. Well, some of these other faces of
some of the other faces, and these could be surprising for some people. Humor can easily be a face of anger. You know somebody who is the life and song of the party.
You know, I found that I found even a lot of comedians mm-hmm. that I see on TV, if you see them interviewed or mm-hmm. they often are quite angry, quite intelligent, mm-hmm. but it has become kind of this coping mechanism mm-hmm. for a lot of anger in their life.
Yeah. And so humor can be, and in married situations and families, you know, sometimes there'll be a parent that's always turning everything into a joke, and that can be an anger behavior.
Mm-hmm.
The class clown. I was the class clown when I was growing up in school. That's mm-hmm. an anger behavior. Mm-hmm. It's a response to fear and shame. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Passivity, which is counterintuitive sometimes, mm-hmm. people to passivity, but sometimes passivity is a control mechanism or technique. So passivity, addictions are always, always, always anger
addiction.
Behaviors.
Any kind of addiction is rooted in anger.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a response to fear and shame. Compulsions, and I mean running up the credit cards and, seeing something that I want, and before I think it through, I've already put the money on the table. Aggression and also regression is attached to fear and shame. So it's an anger behavior. Overachiever, underachiever. Perfectionist and sloth, somebody who overgrooms and somebody who undergrooms.
Or anger behaviors.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Can
right?
be overeating. Suppose even things like exercise, if it's draw the difference between if I'm on an exercise schedule and so I'm disciplined, that's not the same as feeling like if I don't get out there to the gym and I don't get buff, then what am I really? You know, so then it could easily be an anger behavior.
Hmm. Well, we wanted to move then into mm-hmm. some of this building this life management mm-hmm. toolbox.
Yeah.
What do you mean by this?
Well, that's something that I talk a lot about with people, because in becoming the master of your anger, we actually have a toolbox. And you probably have noticed that you get a kind of a glimpse of your anger problem, and then somebody says, well, try this, quote this scripture over to yourself, or just pray, just get down and pray. And you say, well, that sounds pretty good, and it works once or twice. And then it stops working. That scripture verse doesn't work anymore. Well, that's one tool, but you need a toolbox. You need lots of tools in there, and you need to keep building the toolbox. And then this is what I talk to people about. And so the tools that I teach are actually concepts that I have. One of the things I talk about is I instruct people in the process or the order of action of belief, emotion, behavior, belief, emotion, behavior. And so people visualize this three boxcars going down a track about ready to go off the cliff, and they're in one of the boxcars, and they're just they know that the sequence is they're going to behave responding to their emotions, but I teach them that all you have to do is ask yourself a certain question, and it moves you from your thoughts from your amygdala up to your frontal cortex, and you become the analyst of the boxcars, and you're no longer a passenger. So then immediately it stops the progression of belief, emotion, behavior, and now you have choices. And so I teach people how to do that. Another one is we've talked about life perspectives here, and your world is either growing or it's shrinking. You know, either enlarging your world or small. So I teach people that tool and so a way to think about that. And past versus future, I talk to people about if you don't articulate your future and if you're not moving toward a specific goal, you have no alternative but to live in the past. And living in the past means back there with discouragement, hopelessness, anger, anxiety, depression, as opposed to hope, confidence, direction, guidance, those kinds of things. Cycle of addiction we talk about. We talk about teach them how to work the cycle backwards. We talk about the inbox. We talk about what personalities are as defense mechanisms. So these are things, concepts that I talk to people about a toolbox, and I talk to them about a lens. We give information, we develop a lens through which they see their life. And it also is a toolbox where when they start to analyze, they have many tools that they can grab out to kind of master their anger, different ways of looking at it.
Yeah. What about some actions as part of the toolbox, like fellowship and where do these kinds of things, and being with people and talking through issues with people, being part of the body of Christ? You've talked about that a lot on your show.
Well,
is that part of the toolbox?
It is part of the toolbox, because if when we've talked about the life perspectives model, where your world is either getting larger or smaller, to enlarge your world, you're moving toward relationships. So anger is always a withdrawal from a relationship,
right?
Withdrawal from me. So people who have fear and shame, deep fear and shame, and they're responding to that out of anger, either aggressive or regressive, these are people who are cutting themselves off from relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, in fact, I was going to mention this, is that love is really fundamental to this idea of sound mind. And so when we go to that scripture in John 4, it says, perfect love casts out fear. But that's agape. The idea is not, I have to sit and wait for God to love me and that'll cast out the fear. He's talking in that chapter about how we love one another and how we serve one another. So perfect love. And so I would say to people, one of the things we always need to be doing is to develop this. Bible talks about in that passage, here's the love of God perfected in you. We need to find a way to serve other people that we can be passionate about. And that should always be something that's fundamental to the rest of this. So anger management is a big, big portion of what I do. And anger being linked with survival is such an integral part of our daily experience that, you know, regardless of what the presenting problem is, anger can always be an issue. And to understand anger is a big, big, big key to sound mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I love that scripture verse, perfect love casts out fear. Beloved, let us love one another, is another scripture you have in here. And
it's part of the same passage, right?
Part of the same passage. Yeah. That's the name of your show, Sound Mind.
Sound Mind.
Sound Mind. Right. So a big part of having a sound mind is to have a mind that is not overwhelmed by fear. Mm-hmm. And we live in such fearful times, such angry times.
And selfish times.
Selfish times.
Selfish times. So if we could get...
It's like the number one fruit of our secular, fast society is this anger, mm-hmm. which is bothering all of us. Mm-hmm. So it's time for an intervention when it comes to anger. And if people are listening to this today, they need some help with this. Maybe they know somebody. Maybe a wife is married to a husband who's just got out of control anger. Or maybe vice versa. Mm-hmm. A wife who's just... It happens. Wives who can be quite angry. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a march recently where a lot of women were pretty angry.
Yeah.
But how do people maybe get in touch with you for some help on this?
Well, call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And you also have your podcast there at Bible-based.
And
your offices are where again?
In Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Mm-hmm. Okay, and more details as well at kcisradio.com. This has been the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.